You'll know the name Emily Overholt. She made the she was part of the Pan Am Games team. She was part of our 2016 Olympic team as well. And as I mentioned, that Olympic team that really kind of grabbed the country's attention in Rio. And that's that part of the Emily Overholt story. And you're probably saying, well, 21 years old, it's no surprise that she made the Canadian team. But that doesn't explain what Emily Overholt has gone through to get back to the Canadian team. I mentioned it, a battle with depression, was hospitalized. She is now sharing her story with people and hoping to make a difference. And as I said, if you're a parent of an athlete, not just an athlete, but if you're a parent, this is a cautionary tale. We're very pleased to be joined by Emily Overholt. Emily, thanks so much for joining us today. We really appreciate it. Thanks for sharing your story with us. Congratulations on making the Canadian team. What did that feel like this time? Because, you know, doing some reading on your story, one of the things that really stands out to me is that as successful as you were, you know, and as much as you were part of a good team, it wasn't always easy to enjoy it because of what you were going through. Is it different now?
Last time around, I felt like I put a lot of pressure and expectation on myself. And I think that really took a toll on my mental health. But this time, being back on the team, I'm really just trying to enjoy the moment and focus more on myself and improving in that way rather than results.
Mm-hmm.
And I've just found that I've been having a lot more fun doing it that way, and I feel a lot less pressure.
Walk us through how you the journey to get to this point, because as I said, we first came in contact with you, or first, you know, heard of you and as part of that Pan Am team and part of the team in Rio. And look, I think I always have this battle because I've covered a lot of Olympics and I've covered a lot of amateur athletes. And it's an unfortunate fact of life in Canada that we tend to forget about our amateur athletes between the Olympics. And sometimes there's some differences. They win a world championship and people, you know, people pay attention then. But a lot of times it's almost like we put people in a little box and say, you know, we'll see you again. We'll see you again in 4 years. Tell us a little bit about your journey.
Yeah, I think coming up from Pan Ams, I was on this trajectory, and because I was young, I felt like I had a lot more that I could improve on. So going into the Olympics, I just had a lot of expectations on me from myself and from outside sources as well. And then when I got there and I was injured, I couldn't really perform at my best, I felt. So when I got home, it was really hard for me to kind of recover from that because I felt like I hadn't done as well as I could have, and I felt like I'd let people down.
Mm-hmm. And then I guess it was September 2016, and you were at UBC. There was a pancake breakfast for varsity athletes. You were a no-show, and Keegan Zanata, who I think was a teammate of yours, noticed you weren't there and ended up down in the hospital with you. What was that like when you saw Keegan, and I believe there was another teammate, walk in as well? Stephanie Circa, what was that like? And just tell us what that process was like.
Yeah, it was a really scary time for sure. Especially being there by myself, having my friends show up right afterwards meant a lot to me. And because I was just in such a dark place that whole time, and then knowing that they still came and they were still there for me. They were really supportive. So having them there was a huge help.
What ultimately, what made you decide to go to seek, you know, medical help, to go to the emergency, and then you were transferred to Van Gen, and again, Vancouver General. This is September 2016. You know, what ultimately caused you to say, I need to address this. I need to address this now.
I think it got to a point where I really didn't feel safe, and I knew that if I didn't get help, it would only get worse. So it kind of got to the point where I scared myself a little, and I needed to go, and I knew I needed to go get help.
How long was the process for you between making that decision and feeling well enough that you could get back into competition? You know, was it a sort of a gradual process of, okay, and I do know from reading the story by Nathan White, you know, spend time at your parents' home, go back to school. There was a gradual process here, but what kind of led you to deciding, okay, I'm still young, I'm a great swimmer, I'm a great competitor, I want to get back in the pool?
It was a very long time, yeah. It took me a while, even when I was in the hospital, to even accept help, so I was there for a really long time. And even after I came home, I still wasn't totally myself. Obviously, mm-hmm. it's like a physical injury, you know, you have ups and downs in recovery, and there are setbacks, so it took a really long time for me to be happy and feel like myself, and only after that did I start to even think about coming back to the pool, and I just wasn't ready to start racing until after all of that.
How were your coaches when you came back? Like, they, you know, again, they realized this is, you were someone who was in the Olympics, you won an Olympic medal, high performance athlete coming back after dealing with a very difficult situation. How did your coaches approach it? Were they hands off? Did they kind of say, look, you, we'll let you follow your program, you come to us when you need help? Or, because at some point, Emily, again, you're a competitor, you're 21 years of age. At some point, you were gonna have to compete, right? You're gonna have to try to beat somebody. How did they approach you about that? Were you left on your own schedule, or did they sort of gradually try to get you back into a competitive frame of mind and you know, a competitive physical frame of mind as well?
Yeah, it was definitely a very gradual process. Because I had been out for a year, I was obviously out of shape, and also it took me a while to just get back into the right mindset to race again. Even after I'd started training. So we kind of built up really slowly, and I went to some really small meets just around Vancouver just to kind of get my feet wet, basically, and start racing again, and then just built up from there. And they were really supportive through the whole thing and wanted to make sure that I was enjoying it, and that I kind of kept things in perspective because I was so far behind from where I was in Rio, obviously. But yeah, it was a very long process, but the whole way they were really supportive. And I think they believed in me the entire time, even when there were some really, really big doubts in my mind.
Emily, what would your message be to parents, coaches, teammates, and young athletes in particular? It doesn't have to be young athletes, but I think that this is, you know, again, I'm 59. I just assume, I'm guilty of just assuming that people in their teens and early 20s you know, life's just great. Life's grand. Everybody's got pressure, but life's grand. Everything's ahead of you. And I know that's not the case. And, you know, I'm very well aware that's not the case. But what is your message to those people, people who can make a difference, and to the individuals themselves?
I think to the individuals themselves, just to try and stay present. It's something that I'm constantly working on. I get stressed out and I think too far in advance. But just trying to stay in the moment and focusing on things you can control and just trying to, improve every day, but maybe not make huge strides and just kind of be patient in that way. And then to the people around them, I think it's just a constant support, really. My family was so helpful in the whole process, and same with my friends. And obviously it was hard to show that sometimes, that I really appreciated it, but they were there through all of it. So I think a huge message that I would give to the families is just to kind of not give up on them, even if they're not necessarily showing you that they're appreciating it, because sometimes it's really hard to do that.
Mm-hmm. Emily, where are you right now in terms of, you know, as a competitor, as a swimmer, where do you feel your quote unquote game is right now?
I feel like I'm getting very close to where I was in 2016, and that's really exciting for me. This past weekend, I qualified for World Championships, so in a couple months, we'll head to Korea, and I'm really hoping to be down at my best time again this summer.
Emily, listen, we really appreciate you joining us again. We're so, so happy that you're back on the Canadian team. We're so happy that you're able to be that you're able to be Emily again. And I really appreciate you joining us. And as I said, we really wish nothing but the best to you, the best for you.
Thank you so much. Thank you for having me.